It's Great Mondays Radio, a podcast exploring how work is changing in the age of AI. I'm Josh Levine, a transformation executive helping private businesses elevate how their teams operate in an AI-driven world. On the show, I speak with executives, people leaders, and other humans rethinking how decisions get made, how managers lead, and how teams are learning to adapt. If you'd like to be a guest on our program, hang out for about 30 minutes, and I'll tell you how. There's a lot of bullshit going on out in the world about AI and what it may or may not do. I have been asking for guests to come on and tell us what's really happening so we can cut through all that bullshit. Welcome to Great Mondays Radio, where we explore how AI is reshaping the workplace and talk with leaders redesigning how their organizations manage people, make decisions, and adapt to change. Today, CEO of Uncork, Gary Hoberman, is here. He has spent the past 10 years running an enterprise B2B software company and was hit with the AI wave like the rest of us. He's going to tell us a little bit about how he's led his organization, how he has changed how he thinks about how his organization is run, and what are maybe some of the assumptions we have made about what AI can do for us that are incorrect or misguided. Gary Hoberman, welcome to Great Mondays Radio.
Oh, thank you for having me here, Josh. It's a pleasure to be here. Awesome. Looking forward.
Yeah. So you're running, just very quickly to level set. So you're running a B2B software company, and it has essentially you have imagined the enterprise architecture so that it could be AI first. I don't want us to make it sound like a sales pitch, but I do think it's
keep
relevant.
Keep going.
Yeah, exactly. I do think it's relevant because you didn't start out this way. You got hit again. Like I said, you got hit with AI and you're like, okay, now how do I change that? So let's start with the kind of the vision for what happened in that transition moment. And then we'll sort of let the rest of the episode kind of fall out from that story.
I mean, look, first and foremost, like I started in engineering and Wall Street trading systems back in 94. I'll date myself, long time ago. And that was my first job at a company called Bankers Trust. And then I climbed the corporate ladder. My goal was CIO. I had a vision of like, what's important to me? And one of my favorite books is like Barking Up the Wrong Tree. What's your metrics? What's your things? And I had a goal. I'm like, you know, it looks like a fun role to have, to be in charge of all the technology for a Fortune 50 company. And, you know, I became one of the youngest managing directors in technology at Citigroup. And then became the global CIO at a Fortune 50 company called MetLife. And, you know, and I realized that's the wrong metric. I was miserable. Mm. I was like, it was absolute, you know, I did it for 5 years. And what I saw was the things that I loved most in life were the things that were causing the most misery, which is technology. And technology was pushing the company back instead of forward and holding things back. And it was just, and it's like when it's your passion and you're good at it and you love this, you know, and then you realize it's holding back. It was like a gut punch. And yeah. So what I mean by that, to be very clear, is like, you know, 80% of my budget, which was $2 billion a year to spend, was just locked away in keeping the lights on everything created before I joined.
Maintenance. Yeah.
Maintenance.
I think anybody that has been even near IT inside of a large enterprise organization understands, like I immediately understood when you were like, it's holding us back. And you're like, that is a really painful, you're like, what? This is supposed to push us forward. And yet we're anchored in on this technological debt.
It's, you know, and when you think about it, it's completely opposite of empowering. It's limiting. Businesses get frustrated. They're like, the term citizen developer, I hate this term that's out there because I always viewed it as my business asked me, I said no, but they need it and they'll do it anyway.
Shadow IT, right?
Shadow IT. And the shadow AI now is the new term that you're going to hear a lot about.
Shadow AI. Yep.
And when I created Uncork, it was about how do I solve this problem for the industry? How do I remove the burden of maintenance? And, you know, when you think about that, it was eliminate the code. get rid of the code, get rid of the concept that's holding it back, which is a cryptic ancient Greek-like language that only a few people know how to speak well, and replace it with something meaningful that you could read and understand, even if you're a business user, and then put the controls around it to make it acceptable in enterprise regulated software. So that was Unqork's birth. It's amazing. However, AI came along, as you said, and completely changed the world for all of us. I'll never forget asking AI and one of the ChatGPTs to say, give me a poem about my kids and make it sound like Eminem style about it. Here's where they, and it did it. And I was like, this is brilliant. And for me, it meant for the first time stepping back and saying, what does this mean for us as a company?
Yeah.
And, you know, is this a accelerator or is it a threat to our business? And the best thing you could always do as a leader when you don't know is to say you don't know and bring in someone who does and trust.
Yeah.
I did that. I did that over a year and a half ago. And, you know, he's rebuilt the company to be not just AI first, but AI native. And what that means is actually making people use the products, and it means rebuilding the products with AI in mind to begin with, but only applying it in the areas which have no risk, because it is still nothing but a guessing technology. It's probabilistic. It's like, I think the next best answer for Josh is this.
But
doesn't mean it. But like, so we rebuilt ground up AI first. It is a magical world we're entering where, you know, a business requirement could be described in English and production is one-to-one matched to that, guaranteed, secured, hosted by us in a way which the business and regulations comply with. But then if you want to change your business, change the document and there's nothing else. And that's the future. So in our world, like, everyone's talking about AI coding and AI agents and everything and all the revenue. The way we see the world is my engineering team should be the last team using AI coding agents, and the 40 of them would be the only licenses you ever need, because they're using AI coding agents to build out building blocks and everyone else uses the building blocks. So it's a very different world than we are, but it's the most exciting time I've ever seen in my life in technology. It's the most exciting place to ever be.
What is this? So you're describing, I would say, a utopian future, which is your job to have. But I'm watching,
agree.
Right? Yeah. But it's like, I'm watching these organizations because they don't have the luxury of rebuilding like you have. And they're essentially just saying, hey, everybody, just here's Gemini. We already have the Google Suite, or here's Copilot. Go use it. Right. And everybody goes, okay, I guess, right? And they're like, hey, .ai, you know, we're here, we're doing it. And it's like, you're what I think the difference here is, you have thought through, okay, where is AI appropriate to use? And these other organizations are like, I don't know, you figure it out, just use it in some way.
It's even scarier.
All right, tell me how it's even.
By the way, I've got like when I grew up to be the MD in Citigroup, or like the amount of politics you deal with inside a company and what you realize outside in. Now I've got the outside in view of the world.
Yeah.
And when you're selling into these large enterprise companies who are our customers in public sectors and healthcare, what you see is the politics is one of the worst things you'll see. It's called, by the way, Unqork is Unqork bureaucracy. Mm. That's what we call it. We said uncork the bureaucracy that's holding you back. Mm-hmm. Now, AI itself, you know, the biggest problem right now in any enterprise is their compensation model. And it's an HR problem. It's every company needs to stop what they're doing, go look at their compensation model and say, what do we comp people on? How do they get an MD title? Oh, they need to be managing 500 or more employees. Mm-hmm. Oh, how did they get their bonus decided? It's how many people work for them. And reality is, in most of these enterprises, the bigger the empire you build, the more we pay you. So the leaders who need to deploy automation technologies like AI or Unqork they're not incentivized to actually bring in automation because it changes the fiefdoms they built. It is a
I have seen it's so I didn't even think to put this together, but I've seen this firsthand. I was working with a client last year, and even pre-AI, the fight to essentially the political fights to get more responsibility, i.e., more people on your team, was tooth and nail. And it was so counterproductive. So I would even argue we are way late to that re-envisioning of this. But yes, I think it makes it even more stark.
it's bad. It's so like everyone's talking about like how the cost of a line of code to be produced will go down to the cost of electricity, which I believe, and
Yeah,
I've
sure.
that's the right. But the cost, the metric I'm trying to get the industry to ever talk about that they've never even heard before me is a concept of what's the cost of line of code to maintain? What's your annual cost for line of code maintenance? And if you look at these numbers, you know, a bank might spend $20 per line of code created in order to maintain it, every line. And, you know, airplane manufacturers might spend thousands of dollars per line of code. And, you know, the reality is that's the metric because it you need to bring that down because we're going to be an explosion of technology. You know, we need to make sure when it's created, it's easy to maintain and support without taking your company down. But the metric has to change to, I will pay you more with the less resources you need. So your bonus should be directly inverse, that your bonus goes up higher with the less employees you need to do your work, and the more output you get, and the less cost you spend. And, you know, that's never been done before. It's never been like, it's such an interesting, and by the way, without that, humans will sabotage every AI deployment and not get the value back from the investments we're making.
Right. If you
Because
got
it's
to
just not incentivized.
reimagine the you got to reimagine the incentive structure, what are people doing this for? So when we're thinking about organizations, let's say we have an organization midsize, a couple thousand, and what is the right way to think about leading a integrating AI? Like, how do we start to? Because to me, it's like it hits so many things. It's like, well, how do you know that you're not going to need as many people? Like, because it could be a whole different department, a shape of a department, right? Like, of course, you can do more things, but I don't know that that means it's creating more value, right? That's just one thing. And you brought up the incentives. And then we've got like, what else do we deliver? Like, there's just like, where do you even start?
To me, the CEO needs to step back and say, do we have the best product and service for our customers? And I'm just going to like, so this is a real example I saw, Josh, recently where we demoed our product to a CEO of a very large financial institution, and the CEO turned pale in the meeting. And I'm looking, I'm like, what's wrong? And the CEO goes, you just demoed, you were able to take a process that's 6 months in onboarding down to 5 seconds. And the reason why I'm pal, he didn't say it like that, but it was because we don't have the best products and services in the market. We actually don't have the best service, and we're not fixing it because customers are kind of stuck with us because it's hard to move away. Switching costs is high.
The switching cost is high. Yep.
I think the switching cost is gone from all industries. And I think CEOs need to step back and go, if the switching cost is gone and that's no longer a protection for our business, how do we create the best products and services as a company? And just stop there. Because I truly think that across even consumer products, if eventually a robot, I could click a button and a robot comes and picks up my Amazon package that I didn't want, we're going to be returning a lot more products than us going down to the store and packing it up and sending it away. Because I've got those boxes sitting there that I'm, but, and I think that's in enterprise. So I think thinking through the CEO, but then going down to the levels beneath, it has to come down to like, what are the core three things that are important to each group? And for me, like, I am not a creative, I'm a creative person with a horrible graphics capability. I in my mind, I could say, I could picture what the slide will look like, and then it looks like a 2-year-old built it. But what I do know is here are the 3 points I want to convey to the customer. Here's my 3 points of what differentiates Uncork. And today I take those 3 points, I put it into a Google Doc, a Google slide, and I click a button called Beautify the Slide. And I am so proud of myself. I am now this, I am just, I've taken over our whole function, and I'm driving my marketing team absolutely, up the wall, because every morning I'm changing my mission and vision and this and that. I'm trying different things and I'm testing it with customers. And the reality is, I stepped back one day and go, those 3 bullets are probably more meaningful to the customer than the whole visual that was just created with all these imagery and all this beautiful graphics and colors and fonts. And I think those 3 bullets, everyone needs to step and ask and say, what are the 3 bullets most important to do my job? And like, how do I structure that in a way to just focus on that instead of all the BS that's around it?
All right. So switching cost moats are drying up. And I think that is amazing. I think that's a good for the customer. Are
Yes,
you going to
agreed.
fire your marketing team now?
No, we are lean and mean. So
Well,
as a
I
company
mean,
itself,
look, I'm gonna
so
check. I'm challenging you, right? Like, it's like,
we're
okay, we can just do click. I just tell it what our co colors are, and boom, we're done.
You know what's interesting is it's not as good as what they produce still at these days. It's nifty, but
But Gary,
will
what
it be
happens?
that it
It's
will it
going
get
to
there?
get that good.
We will, I
So,
think we
tell
will
me what
stop
you're.
using outside designing firms. That's one way I would say it, because we don't have a in-house design team. So we've always, by the way, like as a I manage 10,000 employees. That was in my previous role to, and I started Uncork with one employee, and that was it. That was, it's a very different world, enterprise and startups. And when I was at MetLife, I was featured in Fortune magazine and Forbes, and for creating a startup out of a 200-year-old company, because that's the way I function. I'm like, we're going to be a startup, even though we're in insurance, which is a stodgy business, and we're 200 years old. I think the mindset is, I need to do the most I can with the least resources I have. Like that's the, and I think that mindset holds true in AI, which is, I think AI and marketing could empower a single person to do the work of a team. And that's a win. That's a win for everyone, the consumers, the product, the company. I think having it apply where it does well, creative, even if I just use it to brainstorm back and forth, you also have to realize it will make you feel good about things you are not good at. I remember one time I sent something to my team, and I'm like, look, it thinks Uncork is better than Microsoft, Google, and Amazon combined, and here's what we're doing. And my team goes, open up an incognito window, a private window, and ask the question again. And it was like a completely different answer. And I'm like, they're like, you realize it's just learning about what you think of your company, and it's going to just repeat it back to you, because that's all it does. And so you have to realize that that's the case.
That's not,
So.
yeah, that's not it's that's not the value, right? It's like asking strategic questions, not like is it good questions. Tell
Yeah.
me, before we started recording, you started to go into this, what I thought was really interesting, this idea of how everybody thinks about AI as maybe a superpower.
Yeah. When you think about what it could do, there are going to be employees who see their kids building apps at home, or their prototypes are being built, and I call them prototypes. They're not production ready. You can't. I am these days, if I enter a website and I see I look to see if I actually should ever enter information, because I don't trust it. As a consumer, I don't trust. But the reality is, things that could become superpowers could be, how do I get my requirements that I need something defined faster? How do I understand the needs and I think it's going to elevate us all up to a place to feel like we could do more than we could before. The example I gave is, I'm kind of taking on the role of a designer when I never had that ability before, and that's a superpower. I think business users will feel like they're going to do more and more in technology, where they could create technology. And look what I could do faster than I was getting back from my enterprise technology team. And look how fast. It's not one to one in either case. Like my product, my slides, actually, I'm not going to use them with customers exactly as they are. They have to be changed by my marketing team, which knows better than I do because they've been skilled in those resources. But it helps brainstorm. As far as technology goes and coding, like, coding itself, every line created of code, I mentioned not just the cost, but it's a liability risk of a hacker breaking in. Every single line of code created. I think the stat is for every 1,000 lines written, there's one vulnerability hack in production. It's staggering, especially when banking systems could have 30 million lines of code. I think it is empowering us. I also think it has to help each of us focus on what do we do best. So if it is here now, and I was sharing before, when I was, moving up the corporate ladder, I was moving up, and I always said this by trying to eliminate my current role and automating my current role, because if I could automate it, someone else might be able to do it later. And if I could automate it, I could prove myself and take on a bigger role and do something bigger and better. And a friend of mine said that's called the termite principle. I still haven't found it anywhere, but termites eat their own home and then move to a bigger home. And that's kind of the concept. So I think this idea that every employee in a company looking at the world is, how do I automate my own job? Because I know it best. This way I can automate it and move on to something bigger. It is a very interesting concept when AI lets us each do that when it couldn't have before.
Well, so here's what I think is so compelling about that is it's counter to, I think, the anxiety that is coursing through the market. Everybody, the fundamental question is my job replaceable? And everybody's fearful that they're going to come under that column. You're articulating the other, you're arguing the other side, which is, you want to figure out how to make your job replaceable, and you've always wanted to, and
100%.
now more people can do it than ever. And if you can, then you're able to find another level that is more valuable. And fundamentally, it is this: we're operating. Here's what I would say: operating from a point of fear versus operating from a point of aspiration or value. And I think
I like the way you said that. That's good. And yeah.
the theme that you even said it at the beginning of the, it's like, what are people, you're afraid of what might go wrong. And what you
Yeah.
really want is to be able to be freed from the debt so that you can actually move forward. You can use tech to advance yourself and advance your career, not protect and defend.
Yeah, I mean, I would beautifully said. I would simply like to make it real. Like, if someone figures out a way to automate, their KYC checks in a bank, know your customer checks, which is in every bank does it, and they figure out a way to do it automated, they should look at it as, can I build this as a business outside? If my role is eliminated, or maybe I choose to leave because of this, I've now built something others could benefit from and use. So I am, when I think about the world and the way Uncork looks at the world, you have these hexagon shapes behind you, Josh. And if I actually showed you the Uncork pitch deck, we look at the world like a honeycomb-shaped hexagons. Each hexagon is a building block, like a text box or a decision or a workflow or a component. And inside those honeycombs is code that no one else should ever see in the world but us. No one should ever see that code. No one ever needs to know it exists because it's cryptic, it's hard to maintain, it's costly. But you could assemble these honeycombs to build your process, your flow, your automation, your AI tools. That's the way we work. I think if you step back and look at the world even higher, to me, I saw insurance opening getting a life insurance account very similar to opening a bank account, very similar to applying for a marriage license, where if anyone of your listeners has got married to New York since 2020, you're welcome. We did the entire marriage license process, and it looks exactly like opening up a joint bank account. which is give me your birth certificates, your proof of residence, your and we issue a, everything looks alike. Actually, everything, if you step back, I read somewhere that I think the top banks spend $40 billion in account opening. What is so different about one bank versus the other? They believe they're special.
They do.
You can
Yes.
find a
That's
picture,
exactly what I was going to say.
but they are not. I am telling you right now, like AI is going to start to make us really question how unique are we each?
Well,
What
I'm going to go right
differentiates?
back to your point about your customer who I doubt admitted in the room that they don't have the best service or, or product, but you intuited that. And what you're describing is these proprietary internal tools that they think are creating value are really creating maybe lock-in or some other thing aren't going to be there that where the value is. And so if done well, we will see them be either go out of business or be re or require a major business transformation in order to actually deliver on to creating that value as opposed to just sitting on their subscription services.
100, I completely agree. When you think about, there's a prediction in the jobs market that AI will wipe out 20 to 30% of these type of jobs. Of course, I actually view it's AI will wipe out these companies. Like the jobs will be gone because the companies will be gone if they can't actually
Oh,
create the best. It's a very different looking, it's a very different cut of the industry. And it's a much more interesting for, as you said before, Josh, as a consumer, it's a good cut because I'm going to get the best products at the best prices and services. And I don't need to, as a business, it's a very scary view of the world. I pitched a bank CIO once, and a lot of the banks, I think we have five of the top 10 banks as customers. Like I pitched one, not a customer, and the CIO said, "What are my 10,000 engineers going to do tomorrow if I deployed your product?" Because I will tell you, when I was at Citigroup, we used to say we have 35,000 engineers. We have more engineers than Microsoft. This was back in 2010, 2011. And we used to proudly say that. And I used to sit in the back, go, "We're a bank. We got to be a bank. Like we're not supposed to be, And our tech and AI and what we're about to release, I could tell you that we empower the business. We empower the chief architect and the technical architects and the analysts. But the role of building software, we automate fully. Like there is no, and so you should think about like I should become, instead of just an engineer, I should think architecture. I should think bigger and learn that. Learn those skills, by the way, if you don't have those.
Don't, just like you started this business to ensure that software and code didn't weigh you down but propel you forward, that I think what I'm saying is how you would advise any individual working inside of an organization or on their own. How do you use that? How do you use your tools not to defend your position, but to advance your position? Is
I like that.
that
That's
fair?
uncork your team, uncork the team, unlock the bureaucracy in the team. With the caveat, I'm just going to say the caveat is the AI that we're all using today is still based on a probabilistic model, which is, it's, as someone had said, the intelligence of a cat. And if you're going to put something with the intelligence of a cat to make decisions, make sure you're controlling it and guiding it and checking it and making sure it's not doing something it shouldn't do. Because we've seen hacks this week of some major consulting companies, and like you see, and my whole life was in high frequency, trading and asset management, and I my first platform I built, Josh, so giving you a real example of working your way out of a job. I was 22. My first job was Bankers Trust. They said build a money transfer screen and system, and it was for those technical in the audience, it was C++ and Sybase, and it was, and I started doing it, and I stopped myself and said, "This is boring. Like I'm gonna finish this in a few days or a week, and if I do a good job, they'll probably ask me to do another screen, another function, and then if I do that, and I said, I'm going to be miserable. So let me build a system. I'm going to code a system, which I just tell it the fields, and it will build the system from it. And I built a system that was a code generator back 30 years ago. And that's everything you read in the news today from these, $30 billion valued companies or code generators. 30 years ago, since I built that, and it worked very well. And suddenly 700 different apps were created in 6 months. I was still 22 when 700 apps were built, which is unheard of in the industry. And then I got the call, and the call came in and said, "Hey, we were sending out a $14 million wire, but we sent out two of them, duplicated $14 million. Can you check what happened?" And I sent $28 million out of the bank when there should have been $14 million. And I found a bug in my code, as good as I thought I was. And the bug was caused not by my code, but by a patch on a database that I didn't even know was coming. So it wasn't even. And when I went to go fix it, I broke the other 700 apps. And then I started to go into like, okay, I gotta fix this app. And I suddenly realized 30 years ago, code should never be generated. Code shouldn't exist. It's too delicate, too vulnerable, too like, and that's what we're all celebrating these days. So I built a system that eliminated my role as a developer back 30 years ago. And then I got a big role from that. I got a huge, leadership role, and I became a manager.
Yeah.
That's what everyone needs to think through.
Level
Definitely.
up. Yeah. So level up
Level up.
yourself
I like
before
that.
someone else, before someone else levels up above you. Put yourself out of a
Definitely.
job. It is at a really interesting time because here's, Gary, what I am observing is that I talked about that anxiety that every leader and because of every leader, every employee is feeling. Oh, fuck, AI.
Yes.
And
Yeah. Yeah.
what I am taking away from this is that the reason we don't know, and the reason why everybody is saying, oh, fuck AI, is because they do not know what it's going to look like in the future. There is no model for this
Yes.
in the future.
Yep.
And change is hard, even if you know where you're headed. And that is really scary for most people. And I will paraphrase, the best way to predict the future is to create it. And
Yeah.
that's what I think your
Oh, I like
experience
that.
has
I like.
led us to here
Yeah.
is if
Yeah.
you're afraid, don't, I just took my daughter skiing for the first time, and it's like you want to lean forward, but you're scared, and so you're leaning back. Anybody who's like just started to learn how to ski.
It's a good
And it's
analogy.
like, right, you got to lean forward.
Yeah.
That is the only way. Because if you're leaning backwards, you're just going to bite it and someone else is going
Yeah.
to,
I
get
was Josh,
ahead.
I was a sponsored skateboarder back in the day
Hell
before I had
yeah,
been
dude.
professional. So I would drop into 12-foot half pipes, standing on top of the half pipe looking down, and
Yeah.
just like there's this moment where you're like,
Yeah.
I gotta just go. Like, and if you
Yeah.
stop and think too long, you fall.
That's
You
right.
fall as soon as you like,
Yeah.
and sometimes you just gotta take that leap and go. And that's kind of
Yeah.
the
Yeah.
it's
And
I
then
like the way you
you're never
describe
gonna
that.
hit the half cab backside grind, dude.
Yeah, that's it. That's the, I like that. And I like that analogy with your daughter. You lean forward and you got to just go for it. And then, and get rid of the fear. And
Yeah.
that is awesome. I like
Yeah.
that. I like
Yeah,
there
yeah,
was
yeah.
a good friend, Rob Wolcott, who's he gave me the expression, professor at, like, I think, one of the University of Chicago or Northwest. He's like, never leave serendipity to chance.
I like
And
that's exactly right.
it's
That's the
exactly what you're saying. Don't leave
right
it to
thing.
chance. Take
Yeah.
action. Go.
Yeah,
Like,
do
don't,
it. Do it.
just do it. I love the expression. I love that.
Amazing. All right. Well, if you want to check out if you prefer to watch your podcast, we are on YouTube. You can check us out at Great Mondays. Gary Hoberman, CEO at Uncork. You can find out more about him and his work at uncork.com, UNQORK. Gary, thanks so much for coming on Great Mondays Radio. This was a really enlightening conversation. I am excited, even more excited for the future. Thank you
Awesome.
for bringing us
Thank you
some
for having
hope.
me. Thank you, Josh. Thanks for being on. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Great Mondays Radio. Hey, if you want to be a guest on our program, head over to radio.greatmondays.com and fill in the application. Have a friend you think would find this episode interesting? Send it to them. And while you're at it, rate and review. It really helps. I'd love to connect. Send me an email, josh@greatmondays.com. And if you're interested in learning more about how I help private businesses elevate how teams operate in an AI-driven world, check out greatmondays.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.